for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2015 Labor Day Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, Thursday evening, September the 3rd, 2015. Carla B. Todd is the speaker of this service, teaching on Become an Extraordinary Christian.
I'm not sure I'm going to title this right off the bat. I have two titles this could have, and I'm going to leave it up to the computer man who puts things on a computer to decide which of these titles would be most catching for the message tonight. I have at the top of my paper, Living in Dangerous Times, because we are. Never thought I would see some of the things that we're seeing, mm-hmm. and things happening that I never thought would happen. And they're escalating, you know. It was in my heart not long ago that things, the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light, that warfare was intensifying, and boy, it is. Okay, well, if you have your Bibles, I'm going to be using a lot of scripture, but I have typed it out, because it takes a long time to flip and find and read and all of that. So if you want to just jot down the scriptures and look at them later, that'd be all right with me. And if you just want to listen, that'd be all right with me too. The opening scripture is, well, let me start. I'm going to pray. All right, Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I bind. I use the binding and loosing, the keys of the kingdom that you have given us. And right now, I bind Satan and all his host. Every demon that's been loosed upon this meeting, every demon that's been assigned, every witchcraft power that's been assigned, we break it right now in the name of Jesus Christ. We send out the warring angels right now to scramble every plan and assignment that he has against anyone in this camp, the people that have come, the people that are coming, the people that live here and work here, the people that come to speak here. We just break it all right now in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind every tormenting spirit. I bind every religious spirit. I bind every spirit of error. I bind every antichrist spirit. I bind the spirits of unbelief, fear, offense, in the name of Jesus Christ. And I loose upon you the truth, the spirit of truth, the spirit of God, revelation knowledge, and Lord, everything else that we need while we're here. You know what it is. You know every person's need. And I thank you right now that you meet those needs. In the spirit realm, it's done already. And we thank you for that. Amen. Ephesians 5:14. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest. Wake up! Church, wake up! And arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. That word circumspectly means diligently. It means cautiously, with watchfulness every way, with attention to guard against surprise or danger. Diligently means with steady. That's not off and on, hot and cold, now and then. Steady application and care with industry, which means habitual diligence, either bodily or mental. Steady attention to, and a word that is assiduity, which means constant or close application to, attentiveness with zeal and constancy, opposed to sloth and idleness, not carelessly and not negligently. That's the way we need to be living in these days. I think we would all agree that we are living in times like we've never seen before. That warfare between the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light is intensifying. We're living in a time where ordinary Christianity is not going to cut it anymore. And by that, I mean going to church on Sunday and maybe Wednesday and happily ever after Monday through Friday and Saturday. That's not going to cut it anymore. This is a daily, almost hourly thing. These days will require extraordinary Christianity. The things that are happening in our world today are instilling a lot of fear and anxiety. Things, it seems, are beginning to spin out of control. Now more than ever, it is time to draw on our faith in Jesus Christ. James 2:20 says, "But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect?" And that word wrought means to be a fellow worker, to cooperate, work together with. Faith and works. But this has been, it means two different things. It does mean that when you have faith, you're going to do the works of Jesus. You're going to do works that that are needed in the community, in your family, in the church. But this is, when it mentions Abraham, it's not talking about that kind of work. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God. We need to believe God. We need to believe his word. And it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. See, most people will tell you they have faith in God and Jesus, but when a crisis comes, they crumble. They go absolutely to pieces. They run for some kind of pill to help them get through it. And I don't say this to condemn anyone, only to say that that is not a demonstration of faith, but rather fear. That is dead faith. What you do in those times will prove your faith. See, Abraham was told a hard thing by God, to take Isaac up on that mountain and give him for a sacrifice. That was a hard thing, but he did it. He obeyed God. He went up the mountain, took the wood, took the fire, took everything he needed, and Isaac. And he was in the process of obeying God, and God stopped him because he said, "Now I know. Now I know." See, he proved, he worked out his faith with the work that he did in obeying God. That's the work that we need to work, our faith. When a crisis comes, put your faith to work and trust God until the crisis passes. I have a friend, Olu, he's a bishop from Nigeria. He says, "You know why this came? Why? To pass." And it came to pass. And everything does. If we just don't crater to that fear, that little saying, fear knocked at the door, faith answered, nobody was there. That's what will happen to your fear when you work your faith. That's the kind of faith we need today. We are going to need, start exercising it now. I mean, I've been exercising faith for about 17 years now. I'm talking about where the rubber meets the road. I'm talking life and death. Sometimes it was life and death for me, on me. Psalm 112, this is spoken of a God-fearing man. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. In these days, we'll have to be like David and encourage ourselves in the Lord. 1 Samuel 30, verse 6 says, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. This was right after a battle. David and his men went out to fight somewhere else, and while they were gone, somebody came in and took everything, all their family. And when they got back, all those soldiers were ready to stone David because they lost their wives and their children. Yes, I could see how David was greatly distressed. He thought he was fixing to be stoned yet. And he encouraged himself in the Lord his God. In verse 8 it says, and David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this truth? Shall I overtake them? And he answered, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. This kind of sounds like a set of scriptures that I live my life by. Three sets of scriptures that keep me on level ground. One of them, and this is the one I'm talking about here, is Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. That will get you in more trouble. You lean unto your own understanding. Well, this is what I think we should do, and this is what I think should happen. No. God's ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and we need to tap into him when things like this happen. In all thy way, not just the hard stuff, all thy ways, acknowledge him. Bring him into the situation, and he will direct your path. If you do these things on a daily basis in the little things, it's a lot easier to do when the big things come. So start now. Begin to exercise your muscle of faith. It's just like a muscle. You know, you have to exercise that thing for it to get strong. You'll be surprised how true those scriptures are. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Amazing things will happen. If you've never read the Old Testament, start reading it. Make that a goal this year, because I'm telling you, the stories in the Old Testament are faith-building stories. I can't tell you how many times those stories have saved me in a time when I needed wisdom. I remember what he did. I remember that story of Balaam. Yeah. I remember after God says no, not to go back and ask again. That can get you in some big trouble. Those stories are awesome. I've discovered that many times in the Old Testament, when it speaks of the right hand of God or the right arm of God or his right hand or his right arm, it's talking about Jesus. Here's some scriptures. Exodus 15:6. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. I have set the Lord, this is Psalm 16:8. I have set the Lord always before me, because at my right hand I shall not be moved. And when we are with Jesus, we can stand and not be moved by things. Psalm 16:11, Thou wilt show me the path of life in thy presence, fullness of joy. At thy right hand, pleasures forevermore. Psalm 17:7, show thy marvelous loving kindness, O thou that savest by thy right hand them which put their trust in thee, from those that rise up against them. Psalm 18:35, thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, Jesus, and thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Psalm 20, verse 6, now I know that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Psalm 44, 3, for they got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them, but thy right hand and thine arm and the light of thy countenance, because thou hast a favor unto them. Psalm 48, 10, according to thy name, O God, so is thy praise unto the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness. Psalm 60, verse 5, that the beloved may be delivered, say with thy right hand and hear me. Psalm 63, verse 8, my soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. Psalm 89:13, thou hast a mighty arm, strong is thy hand, high is thy right hand. Psalm 98:1, O sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gotten him the victory. Psalm 138:7, though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. Song of Solomon, chapter 8, verse 3. His left hand should be under my head, and his right hand should embrace me. I think that's the only place where his left hand is mentioned. Isaiah 41:10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. These all speak of Jesus, even though they're Old Testament scriptures, because the Old Testament, as we know, points to Jesus in the New Testament. He has not left us defenseless.
That's right. That's right.
Or helpless. He has given us power over all the power of the enemy. Y'all may get very sick of hearing me say that. But he has given us power over all the power of the enemy.
Again.
He has given us power. He has given you power over all, every bit of the enemy. Step into extraordinary Christianity. Become an extraordinary Christian. What are we waiting for? I've been excited for about the last month as I've been meditating on this. If we have been given power over all the power of the enemy, then it's time we begin to use it.
Amen.
We hear about things that concern us. Well, let's start doing something about it. I'm going to talk about just a few. And then I'm going to pray a prayer, because, you know, sometimes I remember in my early years of Christianity, and I would hear a message like this, and I would think, yeah, how do you do that? Live by faith. Yeah, but how do you do that? Let me tell you how to do it. God answered my question. I was in a pretty defeated situation. One of my children had been in trouble and had left home for a while, didn't know where he was, 17 years old, You know, he would stay away for a day or two and then come back, so I wasn't too worried. But when he was gone over a week, I wasn't sure he wasn't laying dead somewhere. I thought it's time to call the police and report him a missing person. Well, how old is your son? He's 17. Well, he doesn't have to live there if he doesn't want to. I said, really? Okay. So when he comes home, I can kick him out. Well, now, no. He would have to be 18 for you to do that. And I said, you know what? That is insane. And I lost all respect for man's laws. I mean, I live by the law, but their laws are nuts. Okay. So he came home after 3 weeks, sick, filthy. I mean, there he was. I love him. I mean, my heart was wrenched. But when he walked in there, I understood what God meant by he sees you as a filthy rag. Because that's what he looked like, a filthy rag. Where have you been? What have you been doing? So I encouraged myself in the Lord. Lord, what do you want me to do here? He said, nurse, love him and nurse him back to health. Well, I wanted to beat him. Well, I was obedient. I nursed him back to health and loved on him. And when he got better, he wanted to go, I'd like to go to town and rent a movie. Well, okay, we can do that. So we drive to town. And on the way back, I know he is feeling bad about the things that he's been doing. And this had been ongoing for some time, a year about this time. It's been 17 years now, so I haven't lost hope because I know what God told me. And it was in this time. So we're driving home from renting the movie, and I said, Kyle, I want you to know that you, the things that you have done, you've never gone too far to come back. You've never gone too far. You belong, you're God. He had a really sweet experience with the Lord and got saved and baptized when he was 8 years old. Precious, sensitive to the Spirit. I mean, just amazing. And then rebellion came. So I said, but, you know, when you're ready to come back, you're going to need deliverance because, you know, the first time you got drunk, I know you felt guilty and you asked God to forgive you, and he did. And the second time you got drunk or smoked pot or watched porn or whatever your thing was, you felt bad and you asked God to forgive you, and he did. But after so many times, You felt so bad because you've asked him so many times and you keep doing it that you didn't ask him to forgive you. And then a demon came in. The demon in the alcohol, the demon in the pot, the demon in the porn, the demon in the theft, the demon in the lying. All those demons are housed up in you and you're going to need deliverance. So I just want you to know that. And he looked at me and he said, Mom, I don't know how to tell you this, but your lifestyle, I want nothing to do with. And I was just, oh my goodness. This lump came in my throat. I barely made it home. I wasn't going to start crying in the car. So we got to the house. He plugged in his movie. I went in the bedroom and sat down in my chair and began to cry. And cry. And cry. And then I see these little pictures of them when they were 3 and 2 and 1 and so precious. And, you know, you have so many dreams. And that just, you know, the devil was just kicking me while I was down. He had me thinking it was hopeless. I've got all 3 of your kids. So I was sobbing and I heard the still small voice say, you know, you can continue to live by sight and circumstances, and this is where you're going to find yourself. Well, I had to stop crying to think about it. And he said, I said, what? You can either continue to live by sight and circumstances, or you can stand on my word. And man, I was ready to fight. I did that. I trained them up in the way they should go. This was not supposed to happen. He said, yes, you did. Here was the promise of training them up in the way they should go, and here is the end of the manifestation. He said, now I want you to come up here where I am and see him and them, all three of my children, finished, because that's how I see him. And I said, stand on your word. I heard, train them up, and then all your children shall be taught of me, and great shall be their peace. Well, that didn't look too promising at the time, but see, like Abraham, it said he staggered not at the promise of God. I was staggering at the promise of God. But anyway, God showed me that timeline. I want you to come up here, see them finished. And all of a sudden, I knew what it meant to live by faith. Oh, so, Lord, you want me to live my life right now like it's already done. Like it's already done. Wow. I think I can do that. Sometimes it's hard because I tell you, the sight and the circumstances can be really bad sometimes. And you know how we're not supposed to live by sight but by faith? Well, I have found out it's a lot easier to do that when they're not in my sight. But even when they're in my sight now, I just keep remembering that picture that he showed me. He said, and you're right here. Okay. And the next morning I got up and I was going to Jasper, and I hit, you know, it was clear, but sometimes in the woods and open spaces and water is around, you can hit a dense fog. I mean, you can see it up ahead, just a dense fog. So I went into the fog and I had to slow way down. It's a major highway. And I could not even see almost the end of my hood. But I was having to watch this white line over here to stay on the road. And all of a sudden, I realized this is what it's like to live by faith. I can't see the end, but I'm on the road. And I'm headed that way, even though I can't see. But if I just stay on that path, I'm going to get there. That's what it means to live by faith. When you're facing a situation, he wants you to live by faith and not by what you see. Don't stagger at his promises. Be like Abraham. Be fully persuaded that what he promised he is also able to perform. Be not weak in faith. Consider not Abraham, and that's in Romans chapter 4, if y'all want to go read it out, starting at about 13 and ending at 21. There are some steps in there. Being not weak in faith, he considered not what he could see with his eyes. That he was 100, Sarah was old and dried up. He had to consider it not, because God said, he gave glory to God. I think he was saying, thank you for that baby boy. Thank you for that baby that's coming. Glorifying God, even though it looked pretty impossible. That's the kind of faith we need to have. Okay, so I'm going to talk about some things that are concerning us, or I've heard people talking about. You've heard of chemtrails? How many have not heard of chemtrails? Well, supposedly, and, you know, that's not an area God has me concentrating on, but I hear a lot of people talking about it. So, knowing that we have power over all the power of the enemy, let's just do something about it. So this is what I do. I see one of those jets flying over and all that stuff in the air. Father, in the name of Jesus, I speak neutralization to the chemicals in that dumping. I just neutralize it right now. And I cover your people with the blood of Jesus Christ, that they not be affected by it. You know, when Israel, when the Hebrews were in bondage to Egypt, And the plagues came, happened to everybody but God's people. If I see it in the Word, I believe it. And He's given us power, I'm using it. What about ISIS? You know, several years ago, we've never even heard of ISIS. They're making a name for themselves, and they are striking fear into the hearts of many. So, when I hear something on TV about ISIS, in the name of Jesus, I bind the ruler spirits of murder and violence, and I forbid them from operating. I speak confusion into their camp. I stand the angels of God around your people, shoulder to shoulder, that no evil can penetrate. Like Meryl said, in the name of Jesus, you know, God's been teaching me in dreams. I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. It rolled over dead. It was a crocodile, a bad one. It really was symbolic of the enemy. My son Wade left today for a trip. I got a text from him, and he said, I board the cruise tomorrow. He's going with like 40 people, and they're going to tour the Grecian islands, and then they're going to Italy and Germany and maybe Switzerland. And anyway, he's telling me about this cruise. And I said, well, be on the lookout. I said, there's a lot of water spirits, water demons out there on those boats. You're floating on the water, and there is seduction, there is lust, there is drunkenness, there is fornication. I said, I bind those spirits from having an effect on you and your group. But watch it work on the other people. I want you just to watch it and see how real this is. He goes, ooh, he writes about, I hope I see some of those, but not too close. And I texted him back and I said, you better not mock me, boy. Have I ever told you anything that wasn't true? I get a text back, I love you, Mama. This is no joking matter. I said, and the chiefest one is spoken of in Job chapter 40, and that's Leviathan, and he is the father of all the children of pride. Uh-oh. We have a good time, my kids and me. Okay. Well, I'm binding the ruler spirit over him every day. Okay. So, ISIS, okay. I speak confusion to their camp. I stand the angels of God around your people shoulder to shoulder that no evil can penetrate. I got that prayer from a book I read once about a woman who had converted, and she had been into witchcraft, and she was talking about how they astral project to go and do their evil deeds where you can't see them. And they got to this, they were supposed to go to this pastor's house and cause problems for him and his family. Well, they got there, and they could not penetrate the wall, the angels that were standing around his place shoulder to shoulder. They could not penetrate the angels. That's what caused her to go to God. She, you know, she was in it because she was looking for power and all this stuff, but guess what? There's a greater power, and it is our God and Jesus Christ. So, I'm a quick study. I caught on to that shoulder-to-shoulder thing. And you know, it says in Hebrews 1:14 that the angels are given to minister, that means to serve, for those who shall receive salvation. Are all of you recipients of salvation out there? Then guess what? You have angels waiting to do service for you. I don't know what translation of the Bible you read. It may say something differently, but the King James says, for those, not to those, for those. Now, there are ministering angels, but you need to know you can have, you can use those angels to help you, to serve you. I'll tell you when I pray. I have a brother and sister-in-law that travel a whole lot. and they were going to take a trip, and they were in their truck, luggage in the back seat, and this was a brand new fancy platinum, some kind of big deal truck that they gave him when he retired. And so they stopped at a restaurant, came out, got in the truck, drove onto the airport, opened the back door to get the luggage out, and it's not there. Now the thieves, see, they have supernatural knowledge too. The devil can show them how to break into those newfangled things. It didn't take very long, didn't do any damage. They had no sign that that truck had been broken into. He was so upset. I mean, there was like $5,000 worth of stuff in those suitcases. It was a business trip. She had her computer, cameras, clothes, evening clothes, beach clothes, day clothes, night clothes, jewelry. I mean, you name it, they got it. And she has an insurance agency. Of course, you know everything is insured. But they still lost it. And you go make a claim on your insurance, it's going up. You know, you can pay for 5 years and never have a claim, but you make one claim, they're going to jack your payments up like crazy. So I said to my brother, and you know, they've taken other trips. Their luggage gets lost. They have to go buy all new stuff to wear until they get their luggage. Well, I'm pretty sure that there's some witchcraft going on against them, because I'm pretty sure there's some jealousy of their success and whatnot. And they're Christians. They belong to God. And they're hungry and hot for God. They're not into these kind of things yet. But they're getting there. Because I told him, I said, I want to know what you said when you saw that that truck had been broken into and all your stuff was stolen. He said, I went, God, I'm your son. Why weren't you watching out after my stuff? I said, I knew that's exactly where you were going to go with that. God, hey, he gave you angels. How long would it take you to drive up in that parking lot saying, okay, Lord, we're going to get out and eat. I'm calling the angels around this truck, stand shoulder to shoulder, that no evil penetrate. I guarantee you that's better than insurance. It's even more effective, and you wouldn't have lost a thing. You got to use it. You know, don't be presumptuous. Don't be presumptuous. He's giving you the power. You know, sometimes we say, well, Lord, don't let this or that or whatever, and nothing happens. Then you think, well, what's happening? Well, I'll tell you what's happening. You're asking him to do stuff he's giving you power and authority to do. That's why we're waiting on him. He's waiting on us. It's time. It's time. Put the angels of God. We live in a day. Listen, people are being killed in the movie theater. They're being killed at the mall. They're being killed in church. They're being killed walking down the sidewalk. We better begin to implement these things. This is not to scare you. I'm hoping to put a spark in your spark plug tonight. Put the angels of God around your children, your grandchildren, your husband or your wife, your place of business, your schools, your malls, movie theaters, wherever you plan to go that day. It can all be covered if we all do that to the places that we are going that day. Because you're going to go somewhere different than I am. I'm not going to cover where you're going. You cover that. I'm going to cover where I'm going, you know, and my family. And if we're all doing that, then the places are going to be covered. People will be protected. We can keep some of these things from happening, believe it or not. Including churches, conferences. One time this lady said, that prayer that I prayed at the beginning is part of a prayer that I pray every day to protect myself from the enemy. You know, he's placing assignments on you. You don't even know it. I'll tell you another story. Olu, the bishop from Nigeria, he likes to pray in the night. And he was at this church, and the preacher knew he liked to pray in the night. He said, I'd like to give you the key to the church if you'd like to come pray during the night. So he called me in December. Now he's got a very strong Nigerian mother. Would you believe? So I'm just listening to his story. I was praying in this church. I preached in the church. My wife and daughter said there was a lady on the front row that looked so agitated the whole time you were preaching. I thought to myself, probably a witch. Didn't say anything. They told him about it. So that night when he prayed in the church, he went to the chair where she sat, anointed her chair, and prayed over it. Would you believe? She came in the church the very next day, went straight to that chair, picked it up, moved it over there, got another chair, put it in its place. Well, I knew what was going on. He said, so the next night, I turned the chair upside down. I thought maybe she saw the oil on the chair. Turned it upside down and anointed the bottom of the chair and prayed for the chair. Would you believe she came in the very next day and did the same thing? Moved the chair, put it up. I said, oh, Lou, he's from Nigeria. You would think that he would know exactly what was going on. Witchcraft is thick there. I mean, it's done out in the open. They don't hide it. They'll curse you walking down the street. I said, that lady was a witch, Olu. And she's astral projecting. And she's in that church with you, listening to everything you pray, watching everything you do, and undoing what you do. You gotta bind him. Bind the witchcraft. Bind, 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 bind. Revelation 12:7 says, and there was a war in heaven. Well, anyway, the lady said, will you even pray that prayer when you're at a conference? I said, especially when I'm at a conference. Really? Yeah. And there was a war. I'm going to tell you why. And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his, excuse me, angels. And prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan. Make no mistake who we're talking about here. Which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth. And his angels were cast out with him. Verse 12 says, therefore rejoice ye heavens and ye that dwell in them. Why? Satan's gone. Whoa. To the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth he hath but a short time. Okay, so they get kicked out of heaven to the earth. Now, wouldn't you say the earth is a pretty big dirt ball? He had the whole earth. So where did he show up? In the Garden of Eden. Why? Because that's where God was doing a work. And that's where he wants to be, right in the big middle of whatever God is doing to try to sabotage the work of God. Job 1:6 says, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. He still wants to include himself among the sons of God. And the Lord said unto Satan, where'd you come from? Or rather, whence comest thou, in the King James. But basically, where did you come from? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and walking up and down in it. And then again, in chapter 2, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said to Satan, from whence comest thou? Where'd you come from? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. See, he wants to be in the middle of what God's doing. And if we know that, it's time we start doing something about it. And this is how you do it. Satan, now we're not asking God to bind him. No, we. He gave us the power over all the power of the enemy. He said to me one time, did I tell you that if you had faith as a grain of a mustard seed that you would ask me to move your mountain? Well, I had to think about that. No, Lord, I think you said, I shall say to the mountain. Or it says, ye shall say to the mountain. We say, Satan, We bind you, rebuke you, and render you powerless over this meeting. We send out the warring angels to scramble every plan and assignment you have against it and the people, and you can just make your request known about what you're doing in the name of Jesus. Matthew 16:18. And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Where is the spiritual warfare? Do you know in Genesis, I am going to open it and read, this is not in my notes. Verse 6, and God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. Let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament. The firmament is here. The firmament. And divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. See, there's water above the firmament. When my son was in 8th grade science, or one of those science grades, he said, he was telling me about the water cycle. And I was just listening to him. I said, Wade, did you know that God has all the rain he will ever need already in heaven, and he's not waiting for evaporation to do it? Now, that might be a truth, but God divided the waters from the waters. There's waters up there. Waters. All the water we will ever need, God has it in heaven. And he divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. See, he says, whatsoever things you bind on earth are bound in heaven, in that firmament where the spiritual warfare is going on. Okay? So we can bind and loose. We have the key. Those are the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever things you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever things thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. What are you doing with your keys? Satan uses the elements. It's being said that men are controlling the weather. Well, I looked into some of it. I did a little investigating. And I was looking at something, I don't know if it's on the North Pole or Alaska or somewhere where it's icy. There was these stands, bunches and bunches and bunches and bunches of these flat surface, silvery, shiny looking things that can be done like this, and it's doing something out there. I don't understand all of it, but they're there. So it says that evil men are controlling the weather. I was in California recently. They have a terrible drought out there. And it's said that it's man-made. People that look into all of this stuff, it is a man-made drought. Satan uses tornadoes. He uses hurricanes. He is a violent being. He is all about steal, kill, and destroy. And that's what all of these things do. It was said that that big old hurricane that's been the biggest ever, Sandy, that went up the East Coast, that it was seeded, that planes went over and seeded it to cause it to grow. Now, that sounds really ridiculous, doesn't it? But, you know, who knows? And, you know, I asked God about hurricanes a long time ago. It was after Katrina and Rita. Those were some two bad hurricanes. And I got to asking God about it. God was teaching me some things about witchcraft at the same time, marine spirits and these kind of things. I said, Lord, all of those hurricanes start right off the coast of Africa. It's just a thunderstorm. And all of a sudden, it takes on a life of its own. So much we give it a name. We name them. They have one eye. One eye, and they are destructive. Kill, steal, and destroy. So, I was telling a friend of mine that was from Africa about this. Oh, she got so excited. You don't know what you're saying. Even in New York, she moved from Africa to New York. Her sister was still in Africa. Her sister came over to visit her. And on the night of the new moon, and the new moon is when there's no moon showing. I thought it was maybe a slip. No, it's when it's completely dark. This is a powerful night for witchcraft. They go to bodies of water in the middle of the night, of course, when we're all sleeping. And they put curses. They get in the water. They put curses on the water so that wherever the water flows, the curses come out into homes, into churches, into businesses. That's their purpose. Destroy, destroy, destroy. Sickness, problems, poverty. So could it be that Africa, I mean, they deal in witchcraft openly. Could they be putting witchcraft curses on the water that's causing these things to become this monster? You know, everybody was saying that Katrina was a judgment on New Orleans. I told Mike, I said, that's not what I'm getting. I'm getting that storm came in there, guided by Satan. It unearthed everything evil. All the voodoo artists, all the witches, all the evil. And they put them on planes and flew them all over the United States. Now we have witchcraft spread everywhere. And it's been reported in those places where those people went. More crime, rapes, murders, all those kind of things. Because the witchcraft. So I started coming against the hurricanes. I started speaking to the water current, the air current, the water temperature, the air temperature, the barometric pressure, breaking the witchcraft curses off of the water so that they cannot even form in the name of Jesus. Not long ago, a little storm. I was out of town. I didn't even know there was a storm developing. Well, it was getting the circulation, and boy, the weather prognosticators are right in there. They're just, their feet, they are prophesying, actually. You know, every word you speak has power. They're prophesying over these things. They are hoping for a hurricane, so they have something to report. So I'm breaking the word spoken curses of all the weathermen. It's the angels to go fly clockwise in that counterclockwise spin. Just scatter it to the four winds. Well, it does. You know, and I'm not taking the credit for it. I'm telling everybody who will listen. I know there's a lot of people praying against those hurricanes. You know what I've noticed? All of a sudden, they're forming in the Pacific Ocean. None happening over here, but the Pacific Ocean. I've had to start praying for the Pacific Ocean. But hey, we've been given power over all the power of the enemy. So, in the name of Jesus, I come against every evil plot to control the weather. I bind those that are using evil powers to control. I break their power now. I speak failure to their plans. I cast down and destroy every evil plot being planned. I say they will not be successful. Their plans will not come to pass. And I command them to loose the rain in Jesus' name. See, if the church became extraordinary Christians, we'd be seeing some differences. In the name of Jesus, I bind the evil spirits of death and destruction in those wildfires. I speak to the flames, die, be extinguished. I speak to the winds to change directions and blow the fire back on itself and go out. I bind the nature spirits. I bind the spirit of the prince of the power of the air, and I break their power now in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind and break the power of witchcraft in those wildfires, and I assign mighty angels to go and stamp out those fires in the name of Jesus. If God gave us dominion, why aren't we using it? Dominion means to conquer and to bring into subjection. It means supreme authority, sovereignty, supreme domain in power and authority. That's pretty awesome, church. I'll tell you the truth. The evil men are using it. They're using it. And to our harm. Let me tell you how powerful that scripture is. In Genesis chapter 1, seven times, well, eight really, but the first seven, seven times it is written, God said, and it was. The eighth time, God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. Let us make man to be like us. That's what God said. So, if God said and it was, and 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 then in verse 26, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, then what do you think will happen when you open your mouth and begin to use the power he has given us? We are made in his image and after his likeness. I read my case. I'll tell you, when I was flying home from California, I was out there in July. When I'm in an airport, you know, Mike and I would love to be, I'd love for Mike to be there with me because we love to people watch. But he wasn't there, so I'm not watching people. I'm reading a book or looking at a magazine or something. But God shows me things. I mean, it's almost like he goes, pfft, pfft. Well, I'm reading and I look up and lo and behold, there is a woman in a little black dress with a great big shiny gold circle with a star in it. I thought, look at her proudly wearing her witch thing. Ah, she's proud of that thing. She paid a lot of money for that thing, too. Now, I wasn't even in the area where I was waiting for my plane because I got there really early. So I was sitting over in a little area where they just had a bunch of chairs. And I just thought it was interesting that God pointed her out. And under my breath, I said, sure hope she's not going to be on my plane. Well, when they called, you know, it was time to, you know, the people that were there left, and now it's ready for the people that are getting on the plane. And I was walking over to a place to sit, and there she sat. She was getting on my plane. I was like, who? And I thought, what's the matter with me? She ought to be scared of me. I've got more power than Satan. I started binding the spirit of the witch. Yeah. I got a word of knowledge a little later. She's not going to be on your plane. She is seeing one of her children off. I thought, oh, good. Maybe she's not cursing that plane because her kid's on it. You know? But really and truly, she should be scared of me. I wonder, did she... Did God go, or did Satan go, pfft, pfft, watch out, there she is. She's a carrier. That's right. True. Okay. Daniel 11, verse 32 says, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do. Now, it says exploits. That's in italics. That means it wasn't in the original text. So it really is, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do. It's time for us to do. Do you agree? Okay, well, I'm going to release the extraordinary power so you can be an extraordinary Christian. So, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, we thank you again for your word. We thank you that you've given us power over all the power of the enemy. I cover every person here with the blood of Jesus. I bind every spirit that would come to hinder the receiving of what's fixing to take place. I bind spiritual blindness right now. Spiritual blindness. All mind-binding spirit, I bind you and break your power. I command you to get out of God's people. Get out in Jesus' name. All religious spirits that would teach them that you can't do this and that was for then and all that's died, all those lies, I bind every lie that has been told to you in the name of religion, I break its power and command it to get out of you right now in Jesus' name. I pull the scales off of your eyes. I pull the veil of Satan off of you. Deception and lying spirits go in the name of Jesus. I bind and break the power of Antichrist spirits. All spirits of Antichrist get out that would cause them not to believe, not to hear, not to do. In the name of Jesus, all Antichrist spirits go in Jesus' name. All spirits of error, get out. Get out now in Jesus' name. Lying spirits, go. I command you to leave in the name of Jesus. Come out of their ears. Come out of their minds. Come out of their mouths. In Jesus' name, you go. All spirits of doubt. Oh, I doubt that. I doubt I can do that. I doubt you can do that. I doubt that we are supposed to do that. All spirits of doubt and unbelief, get out. I break your power right now and command you to go. I speak to the evil heart of unbelief. Even generationally inherited evil hearts of unbelief. Generational antichrist spirits. I break your power and command them to go in Jesus' name. Darkened heart. You know, he says, let not your heart be darkened. It was their darkened hearts. I command darkened hearts to be, I shine the light of God on any darkened hearts right now in the name of Jesus. I command fear to get out. Fear, you spirit of fear, generationally inherited fear, go in the name of Jesus. Intimidation, scaredy cat spirit, go in the name of Jesus. Timidity. Oh, I can't do that. All timidity spirits, I command you to get out in Jesus' name. Cowardice, the spirits of the coward, go in Jesus' name. All spirits of irresponsibility, well, I'll just let somebody else do that. No. No, you do it. I bind all irresponsibility spirits and break their power and command them to get out. Laziness, just being too lazy to do it. I command you to go. I break your power now and command you to get out in Jesus' name. I bind all fear of the devil. I bind that fear right now in Jesus' name. The Bible says when we see him, we're going to go, he was the one that made the nations to tremble? I bind the spirit of magnification that makes him bigger than God. I break that power right now in Jesus' name. Fear of the devil, you go. Slumber and sleep. I bind the spirits of slumber and sleep and deception. Go right now in the name of Jesus. I say, wake up. I command that spirit of slumber to go. Spirit of sleep. Go. Dullness. Go in the name of Jesus. And now I loose upon you right now. Receive this. Receive it. After every one of these, I want you to say, I receive it. I receive it. I receive it. I receive it. I loose right now the warring spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. I loose zeal on you. Zeal. I loose upon you courage. I release upon you valor. I loose upon you might. I loose upon you boldness. I loose upon you the spirit of David when he defeated Goliath. I loose upon you the ability to speak. I loose upon you permission to enter the battle.
I
loose upon you the spirit of God.
I
loose upon you the spirit of Christ.
I
loose upon you the spirit of Gideon.
I
loose upon you the spirit of Elijah.
I
loose upon you the spirit of Joshua. I loose upon you the spirit of Elisha.
I
loose upon you the spirit of victory.
I
loose upon you the spirit of faith.
I receive it.
And the spirit of glory.
I receive
to show forth the glory of God in this earth. In the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you, Lord. We do receive it. We receive the commission. We receive the call into the army of God. Lord, we thank you. You've already given us the victory, but there is a fight to be fought. And we thank you for that. Now, Father, I just pray for every person. Lord, for them tonight, I bind every tormenting spirit that would want to come and torment them so that they cannot sleep. I bind every tormenting spirit. I command you to back off, and I stand the angels of God around every person, shoulder to shoulder, that you can't penetrate. Even their dreams, I command you to stay out of their dreams in the name of Jesus. I bind any incubus, succubus spirits. I bind familiar spirits right now on this campground that you cannot communicate with each other and party in the spirit. I bind it now in the name of Jesus and break your power. And Lord, I just loose upon them a sweet and restful sleep. And Lord, I thank you that they will all come tomorrow at 6:00. If you came wanting personal prayer, that's where it's the only place you're going to get it. There is a corporate anointing here of people that have been here for 30 and 40 years. That power and that anointing is in this place. And this place is set up with an order, and we operate in that order. We're not going to break the rules for anybody. So if you want prayer, be here at 6. We love you and bless you. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.